another thing I'd like to do before beginning is to acknowledge the participation of one of my associates, Laura Bowen, who helped write this, in fact, wrote quite a bit of this paper. This is the fourth paper that she's worked on this year, so she's been quite busy during COVID. She's in our what's supposed to be our Austin office, which ended up being her house, but it's worked out great. I would say for some of you out there that are beginning lawyers or students, I'm trying to do the best I can for hiring people in the energy field. So far, I've hired four students, Jake Letterly from 2015 class at UT, and then Laura, 2019 at Texas Tech, and then more recently, John Casper and Dana Dinkins from Texas Tech in 2020. So we're trying to get more energy lawyers out there and appreciate all you being here. Word about the title, little unusual. Woke up one day thinking about this paper, and it reminded me of an old song from the 60s, 1967 to be exact, entitled For What It's Worth by a little known band today, Buffalo Springfield. And one of the lyrics from that song, I think, are telling here today, and that is, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. So perhaps litigation is not always the answer to our problems when companies trying to concurrently use the same property cannot get along. So lastly, I'll leave you with, before we get started, one of the things I often tell students about energy law, those of us that practice energy law know there is never a dull moment, which is great. You can be in some types of law practice, which can get very boring. People retire early. A lot of the oil and gas lawyers I know practice until they drop. And that's what I intend to do, because every day is an exciting experience. So with that, what I'd like to do in beginning the topic would be to give a quick history everybody's, of course, familiar with, but sort of give you a background about the advent of renewables and how some of these conflicts came to pass. And one of those is, of course, oil, as we know it, the oil business began with Spindletop 120 years ago. Wind was about 100 years late. The wind business, at least in a commercial stage that we know today, didn't really begin, at least in the Central West Texas area where we are, until about 1999. And at that time, I can recall distinctly many of the old wildcatters I did title opinions for represented thought that the idea of wind energy being anything but a fantasy was total Hollywood. And I'm afraid I was one of those beginners as well, and that we couldn't imagine there would ever be an industry that could possibly compete with oil and gas, who was the king of energy. Well, in just a few years, when the three largest wind farms in the world ended up being built near Sweetwater, and I ended up accidentally becoming a wind lawyer, so to speak, in addition to doing oil and gas, people began to realize that this was a much bigger deal than they thought it was, and the wind boom began that has continued until today. But a very recent industry for those of us who've been involved in it. Not too many people can be involved in energy from the beginning. There's not too many, I'm sure there's not anybody that was around in 1901. But there are plenty of folks around in 1999. That's how I launched my career, which won't go into that today, but ended up with me being able to teach and to write books and many articles. And I've taught 7 years at UT and now three at Texas Tech Law School. And that's been a great addition to my career, because I always wanted to be a professor, but my dad decided a lawyer would be a lot better profession to be in. In any event, The rise in wind, of course, brought a lot of our folks in the oil and gas business to reality that there's going to be some tension between those big wind turbines being on lands that you want to drill for oil and gas. And that those tensions began to escalate such that by 2009, the wind business was really booming all over Texas and in the Midwest. And so we were asked, a professor from the University of Denver, KK Duvivier, and I were asked to write an article about the coming conflict between wind and oil and gas called Jousting with Windmills, we wrote for the Rocky Mountain Mineral Oil Foundation. And we predicted what I guess some politicians would call a dark winter ahead for the relation between and oil. And there was some evidence of that. And I'll give you some rather humorous, or that are at least humorous now, anecdotes about some of those conflicts. One was a landowner in the Panhandle had an oil lease that was active on his property along with a wind lease. The two companies could not get along. They needed to build access roads to get into the property. They couldn't agree to build one together. So they built parallel, really large roads across the landowner's land. Of course, the landowner was not happy and referred to the parallel roads as being another Interstate 20 coming right through his property.